continuing our doctrinal series, doctrinal study. And as you well know, we've talked about the Word of God, and we talked about the different versions of the Bible. We've talked about God as His omnipotence and His omniscience and also His omnipresence. We've talked about a lot of different things during our doctrinal series. But tonight, we're going to be looking primarily at the statement of faith of this church and looking a little bit about the Baptist faith as a whole. And it will not be all inclusive. I guarantee you that. You can't do that in a 30-minute plus or minus message. You just can't do that. And I don't even know how much of our statement of faith that we will get. But folks, you need to know why you are where you are and who you are. If you don't know why you're in the Baptist church, you've already got a problem. If you don't know what the Baptist doctrine is, you've got a problem. You don't know what our statement of faith of this church is, you've got a problem. And I will caution you that if you go to a church and you're a church shopper, I didn't say a church hopper, I said a church shopper, you're praying that the Lord would lead you to one that maybe would line up with what you believe the scriptures to be, one of the first questions out of your mouth should not be, what do y'all do for your young people? That should not be one of the questions that you ask. What do y'all do for the young people? Or what do y'all do for your seniors? Or what do y'all do for your widows? Those questions shouldn't come up. What do you believe ought to come up? When you walk into a church and you see on their wall their church covenant, every one of those paragraphs starts out, says, we believe. We believe. And moreover, we engage. And we further engage that we're going to do this or we're going to do that. Having been led as we believe. You need to know what a church believes. And if you don't know what they believe, how do you know if that's a church for you or not? How do you know if it even lines up with the Word of God or not? And if you don't know what the Word of God says, how are you going to know what the church is lined up with? It's important for you to know the Word of God. It is important for you to know God, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And if you'll know the Word, you will know God. And if you know God, you will then love His Word. And you will be like Job. You will say, I esteem the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And that's the way we need to get. We need to fall in love with God's Word, because when we fall in love with His Word, we'll fall in love with Him. If you want to know more about John Grisham, are you going to learn more about John Grisham by reading his novels? No, you said, I need to know John Grisham. I want to go meet the man, and I want to read a biography about him. I want to read the words about him. I don't want to read something he's written. But bless God, this is not just a biography, an autobiography. It's all God, because the Word was God and the Word is God. I'll get started. I'm going to teach tonight again. As you well know, we like to teach a little bit as we try to preach. But anyway, I'm in the book of 2 Timothy, and let me just say this tonight. Preaching is the conduit. What is conduit? Somebody throw conduit out. What's conduit, Brother Tam? It is the carrier, the conduit. When you, if you're running a wire down through, there's likely that there's conduit between them walls. And that conduit's what's carrying the power through those walls. And the preaching of the cross of Christ is that conduit that carries the power from this blessed book out to our ears into our hearing. You say, well, why is that important? Because the Bible said that it pleased God to save them which were lost by what? The foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. Don't get that confused. But by the foolishness of preaching. And the Bible said, how's the man going to preach except that he be sent? And that's another question that we would have to ask ourselves. Are we teaching? Are we preaching? Are we getting what we need? And what we're getting, is it correct? Is it biblically correct? Is it doctrinally true? Is it Holy Ghost inspired? And those are the questions we should be asking ourselves. Not if you have a ball team. Not if you have a bowling league. Not if your old people go places and do things together. You need to understand what the Word of God says and then let the rest of it kind of fill in the void in your life. Everybody got something they're going to stick in those little void places. Some of you read, some of you fish, some of you hunt, some of you golf, some of you do this, do that. But let me tell you, the primary thing in a man's life should be Jesus. Plus or minus nothing. It ought to be your faith. Why? Because you are saved by grace through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does He get it to you? Through that conduit I just told you about. Through the preaching of the Word of God. We're in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Going back to some scripture we opened up with at the beginning of our doctrinal series. And we are in chapter number 3, 2 Timothy. The Bible says, let's start with verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. That's not just the Old Testament. We are a New Testament church. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then he goes into this, I charge thee, Paul to Timothy, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. And then it goes over to chapter number 2 of the book of Titus, just right there on the next page. Chapter number 2, verse number 1 said, speak thou things which become sound doctrine. Did you hear me? Speak those things which become sound doctrine. It is my great honor to have Brother Tuituku. And if there's anybody, any other Tuitukus in here, you go ahead and pray. But right now, I'm going to ask my dear brother in Christ if he will bless our scriptures, and then we'll be seated. Brother Tuituku. As you're being seated tonight, I could ask the mixed multitude in here tonight. We've got between 150 maybe and 200 people. I could ask each one of you, why is Tim Anderson a Baptist? And I could go right through the pews, and I could go from Steve to the back and from the over and the back to the front, and I would probably get that many different answers. I probably would. I'm not going to do that because I don't even want your mind to start wondering, oh, no, he's going to call on me to ask me why I'm a Baptist. I want you to know why that I'm a Baptist pastor, but I'm not even going to be able to get into that tonight as much as maybe we would on another night. But do you realize how many Baptists there are? And do you realize that even, it's no wonder that the world at large is confused about faith? There's no wonder that the world is in such a turmoil, because not just between the Islam or Judaism, not just between Christianity and Buddhism, or not just between different factions and different measures of denominations or different belief system, but even in the Baptist church, do you realize, and I just pulled off the 15 main ones, do you realize that you have got a group of people that call themselves the conservative Baptist? I would to God that all Baptists were conservative. Do you really need to put that on the sign, Calvary Conservative Baptist Church? Then you would also have the Continental Baptist. That means coast to coast. Continental, we're from coast to coast. Then you've got the Free Will Baptist. And then you've got the Full Gospel Baptist. You've got the Seventh-day Baptist. You've also got the Fundamental Baptist. You've got the Independent Baptist, the Independent Fundamental Baptist, the Landmark Baptist, the Regular Baptist, the Old Regular Baptist. We've got Missionary Baptist. We've got Mainstream Baptist. We've got Primitive Baptist, Separate Baptist, United Baptist, Reformed Baptist. Do you understand where I'm going with this? We have got so many, even within the Baptist church, that people don't have a clue of what's right and what's wrong. You saying you're going to tell us that every one of them are wrong and you're the only one that's right? I wouldn't dare tell you that. I would tell you, aside from what Catholicism would tell you, Catholicism teaches you, you let the Pope, let those in the hierarchy send that down to your level. Let them interpret the scriptures and give that down to you, because you and your little finite mind can't comprehend the great things of God. I say hogwash. You get in the Word of God yourself and you become that, Brother Steve, by digging in the Word of God. The Bible says for you, each one of you and myself, to study the Word of God, to show ourselves approved, not unto mankind, but approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. We need to do it ourselves. But how in the world are you going to go from Baptist church to Baptist church, slip over to a Pentecostal, go to the holiness, go to the Pentecostal holiness, slip over to one of the charismatics, and then come back by a Presbyterian, stop in for a trip by the Lutherans, and then go here and go there? How in the world are you going to know what to do if you don't even study what this book says? There's no wonder we're messed up. There's no wonder that the late day church is such in such turmoil, and there seems to be no unity. The Bible says in the Psalms, chapter 133 and verse number 1, that how good and how pleasant that it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. How are we going to dwell together in unity, Brother Graham, if we can't even agree which Bible to use? If we can't even agree of the very basic tenets of our own faith, how are we going to walk in unison? Amos, does it not say, how could two walk together except what? They be agreed. How are we going to agree when you've got bitter water and sweet water trying to come from the same fountain? The Bible said that will not work. It doesn't work. But you go up the road a little ways and you've got one sect of the Baptists, and I say sect or one denomination of the Baptists that calls themselves the Free Will or the Regular Baptist or the Missionary Baptist. We've even got Primitive Baptists. Brother Kim, it almost brings a smile to my face when I think about some of those churches. You know where I'm at with this, and I'm not naming names, but they would go into the church and there were to be absolutely, do you hear me? Absolutely, no instruments in there with a string on it. No stringed instruments, period. Then they would say, can we get our pianist to come up? What are them little hammers? What are they hitting in there? Strings. But see, this was a conservative piano because you can't see those naked strings. That's a shame, Brother Tam, that you can't. See, we fall out over some of these little things. Well, he dumped me. He baptized me. But he baptized me forward rather than backward. Was it by immersion? Was it by sprinkling? Was it an infant baptism? I don't mean this as being anti-Baptist, but have you ever heard of the Anabaptist? To be born, to be baptized again. The Anabaptist, search that out. Anabaptist, A-N-A-B-A-P-P-T-I-S-T. Anabaptist means to be baptized again. That was where they separated and started, instead of infant baptism of the Catholicism, they went to the full baptism by immersion. They called themselves the Anabaptist. You said, are we going to get all this in tonight? Probably not. And we may have to go week two next week on the same thing that I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, we've got so much going on, even in the local assembly of the Baptist church, that we are messed up. We are. You said, you're calling the Baptist church messed up. The very church that we belong to. We're all messed up. But if we rightly divide the scriptures, Brother Steve, it would help us to get on the same page. It would help us to realize, hey, I'm in the wrong church. They believe that once a man is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the Holy Spirit, that he's kept that way eternally because they believe in eternal security for the believer. Or you go down the road and they say, we don't believe that. Where are you going? Which one are you going to go to? The one that doesn't believe? Well, they don't even believe in drinking a little bit. I want to go to a church that lets me drink a little wine for my stomach's sake. Did it say you could drink 3 liters a day? Is that how much how big is your stomach? You know what I'm talking about? Well, they're teetotalers. They're against that. This one over here says we can do it as long as you do it in moderation. This one says don't do it. This one says okay as long as you don't do it in excess. Because it says to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but you fill the Holy Spirit. So we can do it as long as we don't get too inebriated. Do you see why we're messed up? Do you see the late day dilemma? Amen. I want you to understand something. You are at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. We're not Calvary Free Will Baptist Church. That's up in Glendale. We're not Calvary Reformed Baptist, although we have been reformed. If you listen to Brother Tuituku's prayer, he said, transform us. He didn't say reform us. The Bible said that we should be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Not conformed to the image of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of. We need to know who we are and why we are. We're Calvary Baptist. Are you Calvary Regular Baptist? Are you Calvary Missionary Baptist? What are we? Do we support missions? How many of them? Bunches. How many thousands upon countless of thousands of dollars a year do we send to the Honduras or to Nicaragua or to Hungary or to Canada or to here? Damn, where are we sending money? And are we sending money? Does that not make us a Calvary Missionary Baptist Church? Should we put it on our sign? No, we shouldn't put it on our sign. Can't we just be Calvary Baptist Church? I think we are. Are you Calvary Reformed Baptist Church? No, we're Calvary, period. How far can you go back? We're going to get into that in just a second. Are you independent? We are. Are you fundamental? We are. So are you independent fundamental? We are. Now take you Google, don't do it right now, but Google out of here when you get out of here, Google out of here and put down in there what is the independent fundamental Baptist movement. You know what Google says? Who said that? Grant, when did it say that we are? It says in the Google, if you independent fundamental Google, it says you are a part of a cult. I don't make this up. Google says that a cult is one that is set aside to their own standards and own sets of beliefs without anybody else's interference. So guess what? By definition, we're a cult. Do y'all know what that makes me? I am a cult leader. Some of y'all are laughing already. What'd you say about Kool-Aid? We have a Kool-Aid drinking, but he's the only one getting any. Do you see the problem, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Honestly. Okay, what is an independent movement? What is independent in the belief system of the Baptist Church? What does it mean, Brother Grant? Help me real quick. We are set apart. We are not affiliated. We are autonomous. We are self-governing. We are governed here. You are ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, He and He alone. And then according to the scriptures, He being the chief shepherd, He being the good shepherd, He being the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, has got Himself something that He said, and I will give them this after mine own heart. What was this? He said, I will give them pastors after mine own heart. He said, I set it up and I will have pastors. And that pastor will be one that will lead that little flock of people. He will be the under shepherd. And what it means that we are autonomous, self-governing. We have deacons here. We have a pastor. The two ordained in the Baptist church is that of a pastor, that of a deacon. And we are governed therein. We take care of our own. You get a voice. You get to vote. If you don't like something, vote the other way. And we have a voice, meaning we are independent from any other belief system, any other structures or assimilation, any kind of denominational influence. But we're not Southern Baptists because we don't yoke up with a Southern convention. We don't want what they do at convention whenever they say that we should ordain homosexuals into the pulpit. We don't want to be affiliated with that. Therefore, we are independent. Do y'all want to remain independent? Amen. If you don't, and you decide that you want to go and be affiliated with any other group of believers, do me this favor. Get yourself another pastor. Amen? Vote me out. And he said the door goes both ways. If you ever decide that you're going to go that way, you're getting a new pastor. Because if I ever decide we're going to take us into that movement, we're going to be now affiliated with something else, then guess what? You want to say, you're out of here, preacher. But if you do what I would say, I'm out of here. Got a brother that had some problem going on the deacon board. You know what I'm talking about. He left the church. The pastor left the church. There's some other things going on. Listen, why are we what we are? Okay, to be independent means this. It means that we are separate, we're self-governing, we're autonomous, we are not affiliated with any other group. But you said, preacher, we're also fundamental. Fundamental, what does that mean? Fundamental means this, one who holds to the original faith and practice of a movement. Did you hear me? One that holds to the original faith and practice of a movement. The Baptist Church was founded in 31 AD, 2 years prior to the death and the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You said, I thought that the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Read your Bible and you'll find out what I'm talking about is true. We are fundamental because we go back in our practice to the original practice of the original movement. If you want to get involved in the Methodist faith, then you would go back and you would become fundamental all the way to John Wesley, as it would be for the Wesleyan. If you want to become fundamental as a Calvinist or in Calvinism, you would become fundamental all the way back to the original practice of who? John Calvin. If you wanted to go into Mormonism and you wanted to go, I want to be a fundamentalist in this inside of the Mormon church, you can only go back to the original movement as far as Joseph Smith. You see where I'm going with this? You can only go back to the original movement where the original movement began. And so be it with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You would go to Charles Russell, with Calvinism, to John Calvin, to the modern charismatic movement. You could go all the way back to the late day. There's three branches of the charismatic movement. You could go back to a guy by the name of John Wimber, and you could go on through here, and you would see some of these other men like Martin Luther was over the Lutheranism movement, and you would go back, if you're a fundamental Lutheran, you would go back to Luther. I'm glad that I'm a Baptist. I like it. I like being a Baptist. You said you were born Baptist, you were raised in a Baptist church, and therefore you're still a Baptist because of such. I've studied the Word, and I believe that we line up with this book. Therefore, I am still a Baptist pastor. So let's look. This is not foreign to you. Everybody in here with a website, everybody in here with access to a website, anybody with a cell phone or a laptop or a home stand, anybody in here that does not have access to a computer, let me know. Okay, Andy, Sterling, does your daughter? Then you do. If you want a copy of the Statement of Faith of Calvary Baptist Church, all you got to do is go to our website and print it off. You say, what's that important? If it's important enough to say that we stand on something, if it's important enough to put on the wall, if it's important enough to preach from, if it's important enough to stand on, to base our preaching on, if it's important enough to put on our website to let everybody out there that may be searching for a like-minded, fundamental, independent Baptist church to go to, they need to know what we believe in. It's right here. Printed straight off of our website. It's not embellished. I didn't change anything. It's word for word. I just highlighted a few of the words. You say, why is that important? It's like I said. You start church shopping and church looking and searching out, Lord, where do you want me to raise my family? What am I going to do with my children who are coming of age, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 years old? What do I want Chrislyn to be indoctrinated with? Because I'm preaching a series on doctrine, right? If I'm teaching you a doctrine, what am I doing? I am indoctrinating you. I am giving you a set of beliefs. I'm teaching you what this Bible says regarding this teaching, this doctrine. Do I want Chrislyn? Do I want my children? Do I want little Connor? Do I want these children right here? Do I want them to indoctrinate themselves with the Baptist teaching? Is that important to me? Or do I just want them to kind of figure it out on their own? My friend, you leave it to this world to educate your children, and this world will educate your children. And they will be as messed up as a termite in a wooden yo-yo. They'll be messed up. Because like I said, somebody going to tell them, you don't do that. You don't do this. You must do this. If you were not baptized, you're not going to heaven. If you were baptized, you're not going to heaven. And there are so many things that's out there. Let me tell you, my salvation is not incumbent upon me being dunked in a puddle of water. My salvation is in Christ alone. You said, then you believe you ought to be baptized or not? I do believe that you want to follow the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into that watery grave as a believer's baptism. And bless God, I believe that. In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and upon my profession of faith in Him, I want to be baptized. But there's a thief on the cross that died and went to a devil's hell. And there's another thief there on the cross beside of him that got a promise that this day you're going to be with me. Did they take him down and dunk him? Did they take him down? And did he give alms? Did he tithe? Did he do anything? No. Was he baptized? Did he work his way in? Did he on his last will and testament bequeath everything that he had to the late day church in his age? No. He did nothing. He was by grace through faith alone that he got the promise. You said, is that scripture? Is that teaching of the Baptist faith? Sure it is. If you don't believe that, then come to me after the service. So in our statement of faith, how are we doing? Y'all all right? Y'all are quiet tonight. Are y'all all right? Y'all lively? Say amen.
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me. The scriptures. I opened up with that in verse number 16 of the 2 Timothy chapter number 3, that all scripture. From our statement of faith right off of our website, said the scriptures. You said, preacher, why is the scriptures number one in the statement of faith as it pertains to Calvary Baptist Church's website? You need to know what the scriptures say. It's one thing that what Preacher Mark says. It's another thing what Pastor Mark says. It's another thing what Mark says. To her, she's never called me pastor. She's been married to me for 32 years, but she doesn't call me pastor. Come here, pastor. I need you to wash my back. That ain't going to happen. Because the pastor's not... Let's just stop right there. I'm Mark. I'm sweetie. I'm honey. Hey, sweetie, will you come in here? But no matter what thus saith Mark, what thus saith Preacher Mark, Pastor Mark, Postmaster Mark, Postpastor Mark, Pastor Master Mark, no matter what I say, what thus saith the Word of God is what makes the difference. And that's why we've got scriptures. It says right off of our website, the scriptures. We believe that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be of the Bible. And it is the true Word of God. And it makes reference to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, we believe in the verbal, the plenary inspiration of the original writings of God's preservation of His holy and pure words out of 2 Timothy 3:16. Also as quoted by Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, which says that the words of God are pure words, that they have been purified in the furnace of the earth, tried 7 times. Bring the seventh language down, 7 translations forward, you'll get to King James Bible. It then says that the Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the text of the received text of the New Testament, or the Textus Receptus, are those texts of the original languages that we accept and use. The King James Bible is the English-speaking Bible that we use for this day. And if you don't say, well, I don't use the King James Bible, you stand up for a public scripture reading, and she's got this Bible, and you've got that Bible, you've got a new King James, she's got the King James, you've got the RS, which is the Revised Standard Version. You've got the New International Version. And you do a public reading. You're going to have utter and mass confusion. And the Bible said that the Lord is not the author of confusion. We need to have something to stand on. We put it in our statement of faith. We still all right, Tim? I ain't lost you yet. You ain't moving your letter. Don't. If you do, Calvin and Rudy's not going. Can't run, y'all. Listen, the next thing on there is the Godhead. What is the Godhead? You really believe, Grant Southard, a man of higher intelligence, educated such as you are, about a Godhead that three are one?
Sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
How in the world can there be three, a triune, a thrice holy God, and there be three distinct separate individuals? How's that even possible? And why would we put it in our statement of faith? It is possible because the Bible said at the very beginning, let us make man. Who's us? It's we, the three. And if we, the three, are going to make something, would it not then suffice it to say, what's he making? We are created in the likeness and image of a thrice holy God. We are manifested in the carnate body, such as we are, but we are made up of three as well, body, soul, and spirit. Do you not believe that? Then go ahead and die and see what happens. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your body's going back to the grave. That old soul that Brother Tim was, the spirit's going to lay back. It's whole thing is, you're getting me mixed up. You're over here pointing up and down sideways. I'm going to have the soul and going into the grave out there. We're going to be soul sleeping now. Tim, quit doing this. We believe in one triune, eternally existing God, existing in three persons, being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are eternal. They are co-eternal. They always have been. They always will be. There were times when they were separated. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That Son came down here, incarnate, the God-man, and He walked alone by Himself without the influence of His Heavenly Father. And you know what? When John was baptizing Brother Tam, the Holy Spirit come and resided upon him. God sent the Holy Spirit down. In 3.5 years, he did a work that no man had ever can compare to Brother Tam. And while he was on the cross, what happened? That separation happened again. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The spirit went back to the Father which sent it. And then, bless God, you have to fast forward beyond the resurrection, Brother Tam, and you'll see go all the way to the day of Pentecost. What happened again then? Bless God, the Holy Spirit come back with mighty cloven tongues of fire. They spoke in native native language. And brother, the word of God is true. And what happened to the son? He said, you men of Galilee, why stand here gazing to heaven? This same Jesus going away, and bless God, he's coming again in like manner, such as he goes, come back in the clouds one day. And brother Grant, but the Spirit of God in the personage of the Holy Spirit, he's still with us.
Amen.
I know that's a whole lot to get a hold of. I've given you this, H2O, right? Solid liquid gas. Man, there's been some gas today. So humid. It felt like it's just muggy. That's moisture. That's H2O in the air. Put your glass of water down. That's water. That's liquid. Put ice in it, which is a solid. Leave it there and it evaporates. It becomes a gas. There's three. Identical matter. Identical in every chemical composition, every way. It's three, but it's one. It's the exact same thing. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Got scripture reference for that if you need that. They're co-equal in power and glory. Have the same attributes and perfections of each other. The person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man. Without ceasing to ever become God, he became man. Having been conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. We believe in a virgin birth. If you don't believe in a virgin birth, you're wrong. That book's not going to lie. It says then that in order that he might reveal God unto himself. Listen, the seed of Adam was contaminated. The seed of Adam was sinful. That's why God bypassed the seed of man. And he appeared and come unto the Virgin Mary. Anyway, there's many scriptural references on there to that. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished through our redemption through his finished work on the cross at Calvary. Many, many scriptural references there. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He is now exalted and at the right hand of God to make propitiation, to make intercessions, and to be our advocate. All kinds of scriptural references on that. It's all on our website, but it's part of our statement of faith. The person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. I preached a whole message on that not long ago. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a thing or an it. He is the third part of the Godhead. The Bible refers to him as the Spirit sometimes in an it form, but he is a person. He is a perfect gentleman. And our statement of faith says, we believe the Holy Spirit is a person and that he reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that he is the supernatural agent in our regeneration, in the indwelling of all believers, and the sealing of them unto the day of redemption. Many scripture references there. We believe that the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as the speaking in tongues, the gifts of healing, that they were temporary. We believe that the speaking of tongues was for the unbelieving Jew, and it's not even common or necessary in the late day church. Necessary for sign of the believer in baptism, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that the ultimate deliverance of the body from sickness or death, it awaits the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit does what he does without us having any hand in that. Grant, I can't come up here. When you come up here, and we anoint you with oil, and we claim James chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, I don't have the power to take that sin or that sickness from your body. But we still do it because the scripture says by the laying on of hands, by the anointing of oil. But the healing comes from him. By his stripes, we are healed. The doctrine of man will be one we will eventually hit on. We believe that man was created in the image and likeness of a holy God. But that in Adam's sin, the race fell. Man, we could go there really quick. I didn't even on our church website. But in Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. One man's sin was Adam's. It says that men are totally depraved and in and of himself are unable to remedy his own lost condition. The sacredness of humanity, the sacredness of the human personality is evident in that God created man in his own image and is mindful of him, and that in Christ died for man. Therefore, every individual possesses dignity and worth and respect and Christian love. Doesn't mean they're all going to get it, but they have access to it. I wish that all men would be saved. I would to God that all men would be saved. That's what God wants. God wants all men to be saved. The Bible says not willing that any should perish. But that what? Not willing that all should perish, but what? What, honey? But that what all would have eternal life. We believe that the way of salvation is a clear presentation through the scriptures as evidenced by God. The clear message of salvation is repentance toward God and faith belief toward the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is plus minus nothing. You know, the only part you had in your salvation experience, Brother Grant, was committing the sin that made it necessary for him to ever go to the cross. And then when the Spirit come and convicted you, you fell under that conviction. He drew you unto himself, and by faith believing, a turning from, you got saved by grace through faith. We believe that men are justified by faith alone and are accounted righteous before God through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own works or beliefs. The church, go down to the church just a minute. We believe that the New Testament church is the local assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out what? The Great Commission. The Lord is doing this work in the world through the local churches. The establishment and continuation of the local church is clearly taught and defined in the New Testament scriptures. And it's all, I've got scriptural references all through here. We believe in the autonomy of, I can't even speak. We believe in the autonomy of the local church, free of any external order or external control. We believe in Christ, and Christ alone is the head of the church. We recognize the following ordinances here at this church: by immersion, by baptism, and we also complete and do the Lord's Supper as a scriptural means in the local New Testament church that we are. We believe in biblical separation. We believe that all that are saved should live in a godly manner, not to bring a reproach upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that the separation is from all religious apostasy, worldly and sinful pleasures and practices and associations that would be contrary to God's word. We just believe that. We believe in this, an imminent, a premillennial, and a pre-tribulation view of the rapture of the church. Believers will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and then we just take that scripture for what it says. Brother Tam, I believe that. You've got some that are post-trip thinking the church is going to have to go through the latter day of the last day of the 7-year great tribulation. You've got the mid-tribbers, believe we're going out about midterm through it. And then you've got us, and I'm one of them. I believe we're premillennial and we're pre-tribulational. We're going out before the tribulation and the wrath of God is poured out on the local church. You said, can you back that up with scripture? You better believe I can. The first three books of the Bible and the book of the Revelation, 1, 2, 3, speaks of the 7 churches which are in Asia Minor. Those three churches, three chapters are all about the church, the church, the church. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1, after this. What's that mean? After the church age. You will not see the word church mentioned again in the book of the Revelation. You get to chapter number 19 where the Bible said that he coming back, he got a word, the vesture was dipped in blood, that on his thigh was the word of God. Brother Tim, that's when he's got somebody following him. Who's that? That's the church. We're not in there from chapter 4, verse 1 all the way to Revelation chapter number 19. Why? Because we're removed. When the Spirit goes out, church goes out. When church goes out, Spirit goes out. And that's what we take, the premillennial, the pre-tribulational view of the rapture of the church. Everybody still good? Y'all good? Man, that's a whole lot of stuff. We believe in a bodily resurrection of all men, the saved to eternal life and the unsaved to judgment. We believe in two judgments, be the Bema Seat or the judgment seat of Christ. And we believe in that of the great white throne judgment. We all still on the same page? There's going to be two judgments. It's very clearly defined in the scriptures. We that are saved are going to be judged. Judge for the deeds done in our body, be they good, be they bad. There's going to be another book. The books were opened. The Bible says in the latter day, Brother Tim, and the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. It's going to happen. It talks about two deaths, does it not? The first death and the second death. It talks about two resurrections. The resurrection, the first resurrection, it's all in there, Brother Tim. Too much to preach on one given night. But these statements of our faith are put on the website. They're put in our bylaws of the church. They're ordained and woven in the fabric of this church. They're preached from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Sunday night. They're preached from the pulpit of this church. We need to know what we believe. In my years of pastorate, I can probably count on one hand. And this is, does not say anything to you that come here and join since I've been here. Not saying one thing about it, but in my total ministry, I could probably count on one hand the men that brought their, I'm not saying women, it's not the woman's job. It's the man's job. Y'all come here, it's the man's job to say, preacher, I need to talk to you a minute. pull me aside, Brother Tam, and say, "Preacher, we need to talk a little bit. We're looking for a church." I said, "All right, brother, let's talk. Praying about bringing my family over here, but I need to ask you some questions. Where do y'all stand on this? Where do y'all stand on that? What's the church's position on this?" I could count on probably three fingers the people that have ever done that. Is that smart? Is it right? Is it wrong? I'm telling you this, it ought to be something. I never did it. You said you didn't do it. Well, he didn't do it. Tim said, "I didn't do it." You kind of knew the reputation of the church. Or maybe it's because we had Baptist on the sign. Maybe it's because you'd been here before. Maybe because you knew some of the people going here. There's many reasons that people would come or come back to a church. Brother Tim, I didn't do it. When I joined other church, I didn't go to them. I sat under the preaching for a while, and you pretty quickly listen, and you're listening to see what's going on, what's coming out of the pulpit. And then you start to realize, hey, this is lining up. You're going through the radio dial, you're hearing stuff, Brother Tim. You quickly know, hey, what is this guy talking about? You know, they're handling snakes and doing this and drinking strychnine and doing all this. They're drinking Gary's Kool-Aid. And next thing you know, I'm not going to that one. But I can count on one hand the time that people come to me and say, "Preacher, I need to know something. Does your church line up with this? Does your church line up with that? Are y'all in any association?" You know what, most time, "Preacher, y'all got anything for the young people up there? How many people y'all running now?" We all do it. Somewhere to get our kids involved. Man, we got to have some place for the kids to shoot some ball. Got to have some place for the women to meet. Y'all men go fishing? Y'all do anything? I'm telling you what we ask about. We ask about the things that appeal to the flesh. That's what we talk about. Y'all got a golf team? If Cardwell put one in, you'd go join his church. I asked you a question a while back at the beginning of a service. Does this matter? And it was concerning the Bible. And then at the end of the service, I asked you, does this matter? And minds were persuaded. So I asked you tonight, does doctrine matter? Does our beliefs, do they matter? Or should we just go with whatever's in the late day, whatever's coming and going? I'm telling you, there's a postmodernism coming to the churches. It's a movement swelling very quickly. And if you don't go with that movement, you're going to be considered as a bigot, a hater, a cult. You're going to be labeled as something because you align a certain way. But I want to show you something. There's a few Baptist churches around here, and I'm a Baptist pastor, so I can talk about Baptist, that I wouldn't let my dog, I got two dogs, y'all know about Coco and Muffin. I wouldn't let my two dogs join them. I wouldn't, Brother Tim. Might as well take off the name Whateverville Baptist Church and put up backbiting bickering Baptist Church, because that's all they do. They're backbiting bickering. They don't know what they stand for. They've been without a pastor for years and years. You know why they've been without a pastor for 3, 4, 5 years or been through 10 pastors in 2 years? Brother Grant, they don't want a pastor. They do not want a pastor. They don't want that. And I wouldn't let Coco or Muffin join one of them churches. But there's a few of us that have even got building processes in mind. Talking about knocking out some walls or building and buying land and doing some acquisitions of things, because you know why? Tim, if you'll grow it on the right thing, if you'll grow it on the right thing, it'll be all right. But if we grow it on the wrong stuff, it will not last. It might take off and it might flourish for a moment, but I'm telling you what, that thing will blow up and blow out in a hurry. So it is important. I would tell you this, it is important to know what we stand for. It's important for you to know what your pastor believes in. Because I'm going to tell it to your grandchildren. I'm going to tell it to your grandchildren. It's important to know that man of God that comes through here, whether I'm doing the preaching or that I've just called a Brother Penley to come and do some preaching, that he's going to set it straight and he's going to preach it right. The Bible says for you to know them that do what? Know them which labor among you. This is called laboring. What I'm doing is preaching. You need to know what I'm preaching about. You need to know if I get outside that book. tonight as we stand. Brother Scott, just come get us a song.